Good morning. There we go. Hi, everybody. So if we haven't met, my name is Renee. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. It's been a big morning, so I'm catching my breath. Let's see, what can I tell you? We are one church with three campuses, and I pastor our Chicago City campus called The Neighborhood that meets at Foster in California. It's really good to be with you this morning. This is our second week in our series called Demystifying the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we are talking about listening to the Holy Spirit. That's our topic for today. That's where we're headed. So I'm going to start by telling you a little story. Before I became a pastor, I was a first grade teacher. And during my second year of teaching, I got married on spring break. So that was, yes, it's very exciting. Weddings and getting married is really exciting when you're six, about to be seven. So my students were so very excited that I was going to be married. And the way that impacted them was that I was coming back to school with a new last name. So I was going to be Mrs. Cunningham. And so I wrote my name down for them on the board. We practiced it a bunch of times. And I told them, you cannot use this until I come back from spring break, until my honeymoon is over, and then you can call me Mrs. Cunningham. So everyone was really, really excited about that. So my first day back at school, I walk back into my classroom, and I see this beautiful handmade sign that says, "Welcome back, Mrs. Cunningham." And I walk in the door, see the sign, and my most favorite student in the entire teaching career jumps out of his seat. He flings his arms open and he says, "It's so good to see you, Mrs. Hamcutter." He was so sure that I was Mrs. Hamcutter. He had heard Cunningham dozens of times. But for whatever reason, his little brain internalized Hamcutter, and so it's what burst out of him when he saw me. And he did it in that little kid wonderful, like when they're so sure that they're sure that they're sure way, and that's how he said it. "Welcome back, Mrs. Hamcutter. It's so good to see you." And this often happens, a similar thing often happens to us when we talk about listening to the Holy Spirit. We hear the truth, but we internalize something completely different. We had said Cunningham dozens of times, but it didn't matter. He internalized Hamcutter. We can tell the truth about how God speaks and our ability to hear him dozens of times. We often internalize that in a completely different way. The truth is that God does speak to us through the Holy Spirit, and that we, as his people, as his church, we are designed to hear him. And the way we often internalize that truth is a God far, far away talks to super holy people. Sounds about right, huh? We can hear the truth that God speaks to us and that we can hear him, but the way that we internalize that, the way that that kind of clicks in our being and in our brain, our heart and our soul, the way we live with God, is that a God far, far away talks to super holy people. So instead of picturing and engaging with this close, intimate conversation between us and God, we picture a God from millions of miles away speaking in code to super holy people that read their Bible all day long. And if you don't fit that picture, then we often disqualify ourselves from even engaging in listening. We figure, if I don't rate as a super holy person, If I can't be someone who sits in one chair all day long and reads my Bible all day long so that the creator of the universe speaks to me, then what good is it in listening? But that's not at all how God designed it. And in fact, when we live like that, then we miss the most spectacular part of our relationship with God. The creator of the universe, the one who put you together, wants to have a conversation with you. That's remarkable. And yet if we internalize that truth as a God from far, far away talks to super holy people, we miss out on the most spectacular conversations that our lives can have. The Holy Spirit is the one who facilitates this conversation between us and God, and it is God's gift to us. If God speaks to us and we're able to hear him, the Holy Spirit is the one that helps that conversation move and happen. And it's really mind-blowing to consider, but I think that Jesus knew it would be mind-blowing for us. And so when he first presented this idea of the Holy Spirit, of communicating with us and God, Jesus told this story to his disciples using the simple image of a shepherd and a sheep. It's hard to visualize us talking to our Creator, and so Jesus tells this simple story. Jesus is the shepherd, and you, us, we are the sheep. And here's what he said in John 10. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He, the shepherd, calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I'm a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The conversation between the shepherd and the sheep is natural, easy, everyday conversation. The conversation between you and God is meant to be easy, natural, everyday conversation. The shepherd is close enough and speaks often enough that the sheep recognize his voice and they follow him. God is close enough to us and speaks often enough to us that we are able to learn to recognize his voice and follow him. And the shepherd speaks to all of his sheep, not just the good ones. God speaks to all of us, and we are all designed to hear him. Now, I don't know any shepherds, and I know very little about sheep, and so I need a picture to help me picture this. This is what Google gave me. I have no idea if it's realistic, but I like it. So take a look at this picture. This is the shepherd, and this is his sheep. Look at that sheep. He's nestled in there, all comfortable and safe. He knows the shepherd. He's resting with the shepherd. This sheep is not afraid or intimidated or skittish. He seems like he's having a perfectly wonderful nap. And look at that jolly, proud shepherd. He's feeling real great about that sheep. And my guess is that sheep is not his best sheep. My guess is that sheep is far from perfect. He's probably not the strongest or the softest or the smartest or probably doesn't even have a very good baa, but it doesn't matter. That sheep belongs to that shepherd. And so that's the look he has on his face. You belong to God. And that's the look he has on his face when you engage in conversation with him. Your loving God wants to talk to you. Your shepherd wants to talk to you. It's so very different than the notion that a God from far, far away only says coded things to super holy people. If you're going to internalize anything about the truth about how God speaks and your ability to hear him, then internalize this statement. My loving God wants to talk to me. Your loving God wants to talk to you. It's simple as that. You are not required to learn a special language to have the conversation. It is not contingent on your holiness or good behavior. There is no secret formula or pattern to this conversation. It is simply that you show up and are willing to have it. Your loving God wants to talk to you. Is that the truth that you have internalized about God's desire to have a conversation with you? Or do you have some ham cutter version rolling around in your heart or your brain? God wants to have a conversation with you. Back and forth, dialogue in real time. God wants you to speak and then he wants you to listen. And he wants to speak and then he's going to listen. But so often we come to a conversation with God and we only give him our list of prayer requests. We show up with these well-presented ideas, hoping that the God of the universe will be so convinced that he will lend his ear and his power to answer our problems. We put our requests or our needs or our problems into God like a GPS. We ask for the clearest route ahead. Lord, what's the best way? What should I choose, Lord? What's the fastest, Lord? What will keep me moving and out of traffic, Lord? And we get our route and we're on our way. And most often, once God has presented a route, we disengage with him. And it's not until we make a wrong turn or there's an unexpected detour or all of a sudden our GPS can't find us. It's only then until we re-engage with God. God, it's all messed up. God, I'm off track. God, it says rerouting and I can't find my way. But the Holy Spirit was never meant to be your GPS. The Holy Spirit was meant to be your co-pilot. The one who sits next to you, the one who gives you on-site directions, the one who helps you through an unexpected detour, the one who plays good music and brings good snacks. Has good company. Yeah, good snack. I like snacks. That's how the Holy Spirit was meant to be. That he would sit that close to you. And that you'd be able to hear him that clearly. The Holy Spirit is meant to stick with you, and you are meant to enjoy his company. Jesus presented this idea to the Holy Spirit when his disciples were starting to get kind of freaked out. The disciples had traveled with Jesus for many years. They had watched him turn water into wine. They'd seen Lazarus be raised from the dead. Jesus had taught about the scriptures, and all of a sudden, Jesus was starting to have this repeated conversation with his disciples, and he was starting to say over and over and over again, I'm going to be with my Father. And after years of being in close proximity with Jesus, after years of traveling with him in this little pod of people, the disciples started to get worried. Where are you going, Lord? Show me the way to the Father, Lord. Why can't we go with you, Lord? They're getting nervous. Their mentor, their teacher, their guide, their friend is about to no longer be with them. Then what? How's this all supposed to work? And so that's when Jesus says, I'm going to be with my Father, and I'm going to ask my Father to give you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will be your helper and your advocate, the one who will teach you all things and remind you of everything God has said to you. The Holy Spirit is not meant to be your GPS, church. The Holy Spirit is meant to be your helper and your advocate that will be with you forever. He's meant to be your co-pilot, the one you sit next to, the one you share your company with. So how do we engage with him? We can internalize that truth that a loving God wants to talk to me. We can engage with that idea that the Holy Spirit is with us at all times and wants to be talking to us at all times. But where do we start? We called this series Demystifying the Holy Spirit because if there's one thing that has a whole lot of myths, it's the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk a little bit for the rest of our time this morning about ways we can engage in this conversation with God. How do we build a co-pilot relationship with the Holy Spirit? How do we listen or practice listening in our everyday life? And in order to have this conversation, the first myth we have to bust is that you can only talk to God and listen to God in a quiet, dark room after you've confessed all your sins and lit a candle and have your journal. There is a myth that kind of circulates around our Christian life culture that says, until you are in a perfect spot in your physical space and in your soul, then God is not going to speak to you. And that's just not true. What's true is I am never in that space, and I'm a pastor, right? I am never in a dark room by myself alone, having confessed all my sins, lit a candle, have my journal, and I'm ready. That's not true for my life. If it's true for yours, that's awesome, but that's not my reality. What's true is I have the best conversations with Jesus when I am walking, cooking, or folding laundry. There is something about the way that I'm made that I have to move to engage my heart and my mind. I'm sure you've never noticed that. I'm so thankful we have a big space. I'm a mover. I get lots of steps on my Fitbit because I just like to move. And when I move, when my limbs are engaged, my brain and my soul is quiet and steady. So these are things that are meant to happen, I don't know, on your way to the grocery store this afternoon, or on your way to work tomorrow, or while you're folding laundry, or while you're doing whatever your day looks like. So no illusions about the perfect context. The perfect context is your real life, okay? So here we go. First one. Say hello and how you're feeling. Sounds ridiculous that you'd have to say hi to God, right? He's omnipresent, so conversations with him don't really end. But I think that saying hello is a really sweet place to start because saying hello reminds you that you're in a conversation with God and that he's close enough to hear you. Saying hello cues your brain and your heart and your soul to believe that this is like any other conversation you have in your day. It kind of cues you to a place of comfort. So I often say hello to God from the time I get out of bed to the time I brush my teeth, which is kind of like I just do that in one fell swoop once I get up and my alarm's up. I literally am like walking to the bathroom about to brush my teeth and I say something that's like super unholy like, hey, God. That's how I greet him in the morning because that's how I greet my family members. Hey, hi. There's something really powerful about it. Sounds ridiculous, but you should try it. Just say hi to God. And after you've said hi to him, whenever you're ready, whenever you're in the next kind of space of your day, tell him how you are feeling. Okay? If you're stressed out at work, Maybe you're stressed out at work. You can tell them that. Maybe you're annoyed with one of your kids. Maybe you're disappointed about your last attempt with God. Maybe you're worried about a bill. Maybe you feel absolutely ridiculous talking to someone you cannot see. However you feel, tell God. Because how you feel shapes how you listen. For example, if I am annoyed with my husband and he calls and says he's going to be 15 minutes late, watch out. If I'm not annoyed with my husband and he says he's going to be 15 minutes late, I don't care. It's my preset that determines how I hear the information. Does that make sense? So if you are sad and you're lonely and God says he loves you, win-win. If you're annoyed and frustrated and disappointed with God and he says he loves you, it doesn't sink in the same place. Tell God how you feel at the beginning of your conversation because it shapes how you hear him or what you hear. A few years ago, I had a friend that really wanted to hear God's voice. So she came up to me and she asked me if I would pray for her. And so I said, yeah, totally. So I did the thing we do often in the vineyard. I put my hands over her ears and I said, Lord, I pray that you'd open her ears to hear your voice. And when I said that, she winced. She went like it hurt. And I said, What happened? You asked me to pray for you. And she had her eyes closed and she goes, yeah, I'm totally freaked out. I don't know what he's going to say. She was afraid about what God was going to say to her. She wanted to engage in conversation with God. She wanted to have that proximity to God, but she was absolutely afraid about what God was going to say to her. And so I said, well, tell him. Tell him what you want. Tell him how you feel. So right there in front of me, eyes closed, out loud, she says, God, I want to hear your voice. I'm really afraid of what you're going to say to me. I'm convinced you're mad at me, disappointed with me, and I think you're going to ask me to change every single part of my life, and I don't want to do that. So, okay, I'm ready. That's like how she said it. Okay? So she was brave enough to tell God where she was starting from. So we wait. I just said, okay, Lord, I think we're ready. And we wait. And we wait and we wait and we wait. And I'm just interceding, praying that God will speak to her. And all of a sudden, she starts laughing. Not like jolly laughing, but like sweet laughing. And she opens her eyes, and she's got tears in her eyes. And I said, did you hear something? And she goes, yeah, he said he's glad to see me. That's what she heard. She heard God say, it's good to see you. That's shepherd-sheep conversation. We are so convinced that God's going to go to the most, like, to the darkest place of our life right from the beginning. And we're just totally convinced we're not brave enough to go there. But what I often find is that God often starts with, I love you, welcome back, or it's good to see you. But so tell him what's standing in the way of you having a conversation with him. Be honest about how you're feeling. Let him talk to you in that place. Let him lead the conversation. And after you've told God how you feel, pay attention. You have to pay attention if this is going to be a conversation. Just like you have to pay attention to the person in front of you if you're going to have a conversation with them. You have to wait. You have to stop talking. You have to listen. Think about it like a live conversation. You get a turn to talk, and then it's your turn to listen. Same thing with God. You get a turn to talk, and then it's your turn to listen. And you've got to pay attention because God talks to us in all sorts of ways. So very often we think it's going to be one way. And unless God speaks to us in that way, then whatever else we hear doesn't count. But what's true is that God speaks to people in pictures. He gives them words. He gives them ideas. Some people have just this gut sense that God is saying something. Some people have a sensation like of their five senses where they hear God. So you've got to pay attention to yourself and your surroundings to see what God is saying to you. My friend Priscilla was working late recently, one night at the office. She has a super demanding job, and she had a deadline, and so she was just working round the clock. And her entire prayer during this project was, Lord, sustain me. Lord, protect me. Lord, give me energy. Lord, be with me. Okay? So one night, she's at the office, and it's 2 a.m., and she's convinced she's the only person in the office. And she goes to take a break in her work, and so she heads to the break room to get a snack. And on her way to the break room, she smells something, and she stops. She stops walking, and she realizes she smells someone, okay? But no one is around her. She can't see anybody, but she smells someone, and she knows exactly who it is. For a year, someone at work had been pursuing a relationship with Priscilla. And from the outside, the relationship appeared loving and kind and really affirming. But what's true is that the relationship this person was offering to Priscilla would require her to compromise all of her integrity, to go against everything Jesus tells us to about healthy relationships as followers of Jesus. And so there she is. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. She's sure she's the only one in the building, but she smells this person, and she knows exactly who it is. She was paying attention. So she gives up on the snack, walks right back to her office, plugs away at her work, and goes home. A couple hours later, she comes back to the office, and through chit-chat, she realizes that that other person was in the building as well that night. My friend never saw the other person, but God had used her sense of smell to warn her that that other person was in the building. And what's true is that had Priscilla and that other person intersected that night in a dark building where no one else would have been, it would have been really challenging to stay faithful to God saying no to that relationship. You have to pay attention. Pay attention to how God is speaking. Pay attention to where he's talking to you. In Habakkuk, the prophet pours out all of his requests to God, and then he says, I will wait like a watchman at his post. Pay attention means waiting at your post, looking out vigilantly. Should God be saying anything to you, you'll catch it. It is not waiting lethargically or apathetically in your little world. It's paying attention. And when you feel like God has said something to you, you have to lean in to it. Okay? Lean it. You can visualize leaning in, like, say you're having a conversation with someone and they say something that's too soft for you to understand or for you to hear right, and you need to clarify. You say something like, I'm sorry, could you say that again? Or, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Well, the shepherd sheep version of that is, Lord, is that you? Lord, are you trying to say this to me? Lord, did you just tell me no? Lord, can you confirm what I think I'm hearing? We have to be able to check that stuff with God, to ask him, are these things what you're saying to me? Because what's true is that God speaks to us in all different ways. And the more we practice listening, the more comfortable we will become with the way that God speaks to us. God will use your vocabulary to speak with you. I love this phrase. He says, God often uses the furniture of our mind to speak to us. So what's true is that most of the ways that God speaks to me and the furniture of my mind is through food, little kids, Legos, funny things, and stuff you can buy at Home Depot. Because I have little kids, I like to cook, I'm fixing up my house, and we make a lot of Legos. Okay? So those are the things that God usually speaks to me through. In fact, God recently spoke to me through a Portillo's chocolate cake. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a great story. This is one of my new favorites. All right, so I love Portillo's. So two things you should know about me is I love Portillo's chocolate cake. It's like so good. And I have really sweet memories of eating Portillo's chocolate cake. Every time I eat it, I feel really loved and cared for. Second thing you should know about me is I hate mayonnaise. Okay, I hate it. Don't talk to me about the homemade stuff. It's gross. I don't like mayonnaise, okay? And like if they had like a I hate mayonnaise shirt, I'd wear it. I don't like mayonnaise, okay? So a couple months ago, I'm with my people. I'm with my small group. And I'm asking them to pray for me in this particular situation. And it was just a situation that was kind of all tangled up for me, and I couldn't figure it out. And so I asked them to pray for me. And so what I said was, we start the prayer time, and I start by saying, I can't remember if I said it out loud or to them, but I said, like, Lord, can you just remind me in this moment that you see me? Not like us as a group, you see me. Like, I just need a reminder of that. So my group prays for me. It's really great. It's really sweet. And all of a sudden, one of the people in the group who hadn't said anything yet says, I got a picture. And she's saying it really apprehensively. And I said, okay. And she goes, it's of a Portillo's chocolate cake. And I like opened my eyes. I was like, that's God. What else is it? I knew it. It was like one of those things. Like it wasn't like a chocolate cake. It was a Portillo's chocolate cake, which I love. And so I knew that it was God speaking to me. It was one of those moments I was like, oh, he's real. You know, like just those he's real moments. That was my moment. So she says to me, well, you know, Renee, I feel like there's this secret ingredient in a Portillo's chocolate cake. And, okay, don't give it away. Don't give it away. It's a good story. She says, because she doesn't know, as she's telling me, this is my friend leaning in. Okay, this is her leaning into Jesus on my behalf. She says, I don't know, Renee, there's like some ingredient, special ingredient, a Portillo's chocolate cake, and it's like something you've always claimed you hate, but that's actually what makes the cake really good. And so I think what God is saying is that the way through this situation is to go the route that you've said you've always hated. But I actually think that that's the sweet spot in this situation, that that's where God wants to work. You know what the secret ingredient in a Portillo's chocolate cake is? Mayonnaise! What? She said it, and all of a sudden, what was true was I was like, oh my gosh, God is real. And she's like, I don't even get it. You know, that was like the perfect moment. She didn't get it. It was all about me. It was all about my vocabulary. It was all about the furniture of my brain. It was God talking to me. And thank God that my friend was faithful enough and willing enough and brave enough to lean in that moment. All she said was, I don't know, starts with a Portillo's chocolate cake. That's all we needed. She could have stopped there. I was convinced that in that moment, my Creator saw me and there was a way forward. It was so good. You got to lean in, even if you see crazy pictures of Portillo's chocolate cakes. And when you think you've heard God speak, you've got to respond. Part of listening is responding. Part of listening is acting like you heard him. If God is talking to you about your money, look at how you spend your money. If God is talking to you about how you treat your family members, consider the last conversation you had with them. If God is speaking to you about your life at work, think about your life at work. Respond to whatever it is you feel like God is talking to you about. Even if it doesn't make sense to you now. So for example, I've had this picture in my brain of a dolphin, like a Lisa Frank dolphin. You guys remember Lisa Frank? Like a Lisa Frank dolphin for like a couple months now. I have no idea what it means. But I really think it's from God. And I think at one point God's going to be like, go, Lisa Frank dolphin, this is what it means. But right now, I don't know what it means. So part of me being faithful to telling God that I've heard about the Lisa Frank dolphin, or I can see it in my brain, is I wrote it in my journal. It's like on the shelf in my brain and in my heart. I am not dismissing it. I am simply saying, Lord, I don't get it. When you're ready for the Lisa Frank dolphin, tell me. We often do not respond to what we've heard God say until we hear the thing we want him to say. Right? Like we're waiting for God to say this, 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 this. And until, but he's saying that, 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 that. But until he says this, we won't acknowledge we heard that. That's called selective listening. It doesn't build good relationship. Part of you having a rich, deep relationship with your Creator is responding to what you've heard him say. So for some people, that's an action. For some people, it's writing it down. For some people, it's telling a friend. Whatever that action is, build good relationship with Jesus by responding to what you've heard him say. Do something with it. Don't just let it sit on the shelf for too long until he's done explaining. And that's it. And we do that over and over and over and over again. Every day, all day, until we see him again. That's how it's designed. For you to have this ongoing, loving, easy conversation with your Jesus. And I think it sometimes that seems really intimidating. Like, man, I don't even know where to start. And so I think the easiest, most simplest place to start is by simply saying to God, Lord, I'm listening. Lord, I'm listening. A loving God wants to talk to you. So rather than sending you home with some homework, we're going to do it right here, right now. Don't panic. Don't leave. It's not that scary. You don't have to share what you've heard. We're simply going to use the space of our last few minutes to listen. So I'm going to pray for us. And you can just get in a comfortable spot. You can put your stuff down. Maybe close your eyes if that helps you focus or listen. And the idea is that after I pray, when your heart is ready, you can just say to God quietly, Lord, I'm listening. And just see what he says. And then I'll close us after we've had some time. Lord, I'm so thankful that this is how you've designed it. That you've designed for us to have a conversation with you, for us to talk to you, and for us to hear you. And so, Father, I ask now that you would speak to us. Would you open our ears so that we can hear you? Would you open our eyes so we can see you? Father, whatever it is that we're feeling, we pray that your voice would be louder so that we might hear you in this space. Would you use the vocabulary of our brain so we would know it's you? The Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit. Would you speak to us? Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for some space of silence. And Lord, we know the conversation with you is never over. So Jesus, I pray that you'd continue to speak to us. You'd continue to invite us into a relationship of speaking and listening. And Lord, I pray that as we go back into our regular routine, our full days, where the world is really loud and really noisy, I pray that your voice and the words you want to speak to us would be louder. Lord, would you show us the pockets of our heart and our brain that really need to hear from you? And Father, we pray that nothing would get in the way of our conversation with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with me? Thank you for trying. Thank you for practicing. This is a part of it. You get to go home and do this. You get to do your life and do this. There is no kind of magic moment, if you will, for this room or this space or us being up here. It's you and your Jesus. The same Jesus who sits with you in this space is the same Jesus that goes home with you. So if you have any other physical, spiritual, or emotional need, or it just seems like Jesus is rumbling in you this morning and you'd like some prayer, you can meet our prayer team on this side of the stage. They would love to pray with you. We will continue our series next week. Go out into the world and be the church. We'll see you then.